Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Jackie Hendry. Lori Walsh is off today. This week's Images of the Past finds us talking about Rapid City businesses that are more than 50 years old. Corey Christensen is Exhibits and Curations Coordinator at the Journey Museum and Learning Center. She joins us today from the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in downtown Rapid City. Corey, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we're looking at businesses kind of standing the test of time in Rapid City. The business of business, even, I think, is what the blog says. What inspired this new look at business in Rapid City?
We just really wanted to focus on our community. We bring the community together in the museum quite often, and so we decided to make up an exhibit that celebrated our community and the long-lasting businesses within.
Mm-hmm. So what are some names that people may not necessarily jump to when we're thinking about businesses that have been around for a while?
Ooh, I would say, you know, Royal Wheel Alignment, Whistler Bearing, those two we really talk about in our exhibit. We also talk about Grimm's Pump and Supply. And I think those three were the ones that surprised us the most while we were doing our research and trying to figure out what businesses to put in the exhibit.
Because looking at the list, we have some names like, for instance, Reptile Gardens, you know, pretty popular. We know about Reptile Gardens. It's got its reputation, but there's others, kind of the mom and pops and the smaller businesses that maybe you don't see on the billboards, but they've been around for a while too. What does that mean for a community when you look at kind of businesses sticking around for that amount of time?
It means the community can be, I want to say preserved. It can be continued. The businesses are longstanding, and that means the community has supported them, which means they're willing to support other local businesses as well.
So tell us a little bit maybe about the process of bringing together this exhibit and researching.
So our process, first of all, I should say, we partnered with Minnelusa Historical Association to do a lot of this process. Their executive director, Mark Slocum, was essential in our process. But what we did was we found a list of over 100 businesses that have been in business for over 50 years. And we sent letters out to all of them requesting their participation in this exhibit. What we thought was that if they wanted to participate, they'll respond and we'll go from there. And then that's about it. You know, the 10 that we have responded favorably and they wanted to participate and they were willing to work with us, and it was a great collaboration.
Right. What will visitors see when they come take a look at this exhibit of businesses in Rapid City?
They're going to see stories, artifacts, archival pictures. We have a hands-on station in the Black Hills Energy, Black Hills Corporation section that the younger kids will be able to work with electricians' gloves, actually, those really thick gloves. But we have a lot of old memorabilia pieces.
What are some, as you're putting together this exhibit, I imagine there's probably some stories that come up when you're working with business owners who have been involved for a certain amount of time. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah. We had to pick and choose what stories we put on our storyboards because of how much information we got from these different businesses.
Wow. What are some stories that really stuck out to you?
I think one of my favorite stories was told by Johnny Brocklesby about Reptile Gardens. He was talking about when Johnny Cash came to visit, and he had given Johnny Cash a belt buckle that had reptile rattlesnake fangs and rattles and pieces, I guess you can say. And he didn't think about it again until a movie, and we're not sure which movie that Johnny Cash starred in came out, and the belt buckle was being worn within the film. I loved listening to Johnny talk about his family business and what it's done in the community.
Well, that's wild. I have to have a Johnny Cash movie party to see if we can spot the belt buckle.
I've been looking so hard to find that.
Another interesting point at the very beginning of the blog that accompanies this images of the past this week is Rapid City wasn't always called Rapid City.
No, it was actually called Hay Camp at first. That's where the brewery downtown got its name now. But Rapid City was originally founded by men and their families who had failed at mining in Deadwood and Lead.
Mm-hmm. And what, I wonder, how can we track, well, I guess I should ask this question. Do we know why they called it Hay Camp to start with?
I believe it had something to do with the grass in the area at the time,
mm-hmm.
and how dry it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Sure.
That's a little bit harder to track.
Right. A little bit longer, a little bit more than 50 years ago. So.
Yeah.
Just out of curiosity. A lot can happen in 50 years. I wonder, are there certain global or cultural events that had an impact on local businesses over the course of time for some of these businesses that you were looking at for this installment?
That was actually a big part of our questionnaire that we sent these businesses, was how were they affected by different aspects of time. One of the pieces we talked about was World War II. Because some of these businesses did begin in the 1930s, we were wondering how World War II affected their businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We also asked about the 1972 flood. At the Journey Museum, we have a large focus on the flood. We want to make sure that that story is told. And so we decided to tie the flood into our questionnaire and ask maybe some hard questions about it. But I think it forms part of their business, too.
Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit some of the ways that, say, World War II impacted some of these businesses.
Well, one story we don't tell actually involves Serval Linens.
Mm.
The grandfather, he served during World War II, and he served at the Pentagon for a while. And there was a general there who, you know, laundered his pajamas and laundered all of his clothing. And he loved the way that Mr. Dudley took care of his laundry so much that he requested him to follow the general from station to station.
Wow.
You know, World War II... The draft really affected a lot. I'm guessing even more than what we have on display right now.
Mm.
I'm guessing it affected a lot of the business owners at the time because, you know, even though this is going to sound awful, a lot of the businesses were owned by males at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the draft would have affected them. It definitely affected Reptile Gardens, Earl Brocklesby, and all of the male employees were grabbed by the draft, sent to war. And then when they came back, they pretty much had to start over again.
Wow. So almost an entire staff of one business drafted into battle, and then you come back and you start all over.
Yeah.
Do you have any stories about what that process was like coming back afterwards and getting things back up to speed?
Well, Johnny Brocklesby told me that the whole business was run down. It was... They had to start over from scratch, which in the 1940s, 1950s is very difficult to do. So the fact that they could restart from scratch is something that they should be very proud of.
Mm-hmm. And business has changed a lot in the last half century. Do you have stories from some of these folks about what it was like to kind of keep up with changing times?
Simpson's Printing, I'm going to use them because the printing has changed so rapidly. They are very up-to-date technologically, so they've talked about going from individual letters and printing presses all the way up until the computerized printers that they use today and how that's changed their business.
Yeah. And maybe Haggerty's music. So we think about how much music has changed in 50 years. How does a music business kind of keep up with that level of change over time?
Well, Haggerty's was actually a general store. They sold clothing for a while. They sold all sorts of general, you know, goods and services. And then after the flood, they started moving towards music.
Mm-hmm. And we also hear a little bit in this blog post about the Brass Rail. It's the oldest bar in Rapid City, opened in 1934. And of course, your first thought is probably, well, that's around Prohibition, right?
Right. I really enjoyed talking to Stephanie, the manager of the Brass Rail. She was very happy to speak to us to tell this story. I know that there is some consternation about who was actually the first bar, but the Brass Rail is the one that was in Rapid City.
Kind of wins that distinction.
Yeah. She told us that they have established 1934, but they weren't really sure on the exact date that the Brass Rail opened, but it was post-Prohibition.
Right. So above bar on that one, if you'll pardon the pun.
Yes, yes.
When we're looking at some of these older stores, older buildings even, a lot of times people bring up some ghost stories, or maybe they're kind of their own local legends. Are there any of those that kind of stand out to you?
I had to ask while we were at the Brass Rail. I was just so intrigued, the fact that they had been in the same building for so long, and it's right downtown. So I asked about ghost stories, and Stephanie said that there have been instances where there will be stools that have been creaking and no one's sitting in them, or they see someone on the, there's mirrors behind the bar, and so bartenders are looking and they see someone behind them and they turn around and no one's there. Things of that nature. I had so much fun asking those questions. And then Stephanie took us down into the basement and showed us like the old cooler and where it gives all of the bartenders heebie-jeebies to even go down there.
Oh no. Are there any other, besides maybe the Brass Rail, any other places where that was brought up, or just kind of are we mainly looking at kind of those older buildings?
A lot of the other businesses we had have moved from building to building, so there's not as many ghost stories. You know, we asked different questions. We had a general questionnaire for them to fill out, and then we asked different questions depending on where the conversation headed.
Right. Are there any other stories that didn't make the main exhibit that you kind of wish we had been able to squeeze in there? Anything that stands out to you?
I'm trying to think.
Yeah. There's so much good stuff, right?
Yeah, well, there is. And I wish we could have gotten more personal stories into the exhibits. I wish we could have gotten more, you know, day-to-day experiences, more lifestyle changes, that sort of thing, into the exhibits. But I think we did a really good job of telling the big, most important stories.
Right. And how long is this exhibit open?
It'll be open up until end of April, early May.
Great. And just in the last couple seconds that we have left, Corey, are there, in working on this, are there any common themes for success in business in Rapid City that stuck out to you?
When we had the opening and we had a lot of the original business owners there and some of the following generations of business owners that were there, what stuck out to me the most was the respect that these people had for one another. And I think that is what really helps businesses to thrive in Rapid City.